can sing even when the times get rough, even when the things get hard. Amen. All right, Romans tonight, Romans chapter 7. We're going to finish up this message that we started this morning. I really appreciate the liberty of the Lord to preach this morning. I feel like the Lord really was able to do something. We had some folks in here this morning that was visiting with us, and my hope was that they got blessed. I certainly didn't want them to get run off, and I don't think I run them off. In fact, some of them was telling me whenever service was over, they said, "Just want to let you know this ain't the last time we'll be here. We'll be back." And I said, "Well, good. I hope so." Anyway, we started preaching this morning on a series of messages that the Lord's put on my heart about sin. But we started off this morning by preaching on it's still prevalent. Just because people have quit making it a topic of discussion, just because people have quit making it a topic of interest, hasn't changed the fact that it's still very real and it's still working. But the thing that I got a blessing out of was the passage of Scripture there about the Good Samaritan and all the things that related to that man, that certain man. I tell you, I'm thankful that the Lord created the parable in the Word of God the way that He did, because He makes it so that He doesn't identify any of these people in these parables, and He does that so that you and I can put ourselves into that story. And I was that certain man. I was the certain man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I was leaving the city of peace and going down to a city that bore a curse back in Joshua's day. And I was down there, and thieves jumped me on the way and left me wounded and stripped with nothing. And the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came along and He took care of my wounds, and He bound up and then He put me on His own beast, and He carried me to an inn, and He took me to some people that was going to love me and take care of me until He came back. And I'm telling you now, that's the same thing. But the thing that we was preaching about here is sin. Talking about the problem that we all have is the fact that the sin of our life is still real, but the devil's object and his desire is to get your attention on something else and off of the real problem. So tonight what I want to preach on is sin as a thief. Now, we talked about that this morning just a little bit. That's what our passage of Scripture was about, was these people, the thieves who came and took everything that this man had, took his righteousness from him, stripped him of his raiment, took everything as far as beating him and wounding him and leaving him for dead. And that's what sin will do to the person who and I'm talking saved and lost alike. It don't matter if you saved, don't matter if you lost. Sin is going to get a hold of you if we don't keep an eye on it. Amen? I live in this life, and I live in this world, and as long as I'm in this life and in this world, sin is ever present. Sin is ever with me, and it's going to always be a plague. It's going to always be a battleground that I have to fight with all the time. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, how that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And see, he said that after he had done been born again. So the sin problem doesn't stop at salvation. It continues. You still got a problem with sin. You'll have a problem with it till you leave here, till you get out of this life. But that thing is a thief, man, and it'll steal things from you. Come, if you're in Romans chapter 7, look down at what he says in verse 7. Romans 7, verse 7. All right, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Father, we ask now that Your hand to be upon us as we endeavor to preach a message once more that You've laid upon our hearts. Lord, the same liberty that You awarded us this morning, may it be awarded us tonight. And we'll bless You and thank You that You've given the promise of Your Word, never returning to You void. And we'll bless Your name and cling to this promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so the passage in Luke 10 showed a certain man whom sin had stripped and wounded, left him for dead, but not before it took everything from him. And that's exactly what sin does. We said this morning that it'll take you farther than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, it'll charge more than you're able to afford, and that's just the nature of sin. Sin robs people of more things than what they even realize. A lot of things that they don't even understand are gone. You know, they say that sometimes you don't really understand how important something is to you until you don't have it anymore. And beloved, that's the way a lot of times the way that sin is. They'll take a little bit from you here and a little bit from you here and a little bit from you here to where you don't notice the difference until so much is missing that you begin to realize that the very legs that you stood upon are beginning to shake and wobble because the very foundation of your faith and grace has been affected by the sin that's been crept in unawares. Alright, so it takes him and it wounds him and strips him. It started off with a man in a garden. Amen? That's where it started. Here a man was, Adam, creating a perfect paradise, sinless and not a problem in the world. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to fear. No animals was going to hurt him. He had complete peace with God, fellowship with God, walked with God. Him and his wife was in communion one with the other. They walked with God each and every day. Fellowship was wonderful and sweet until one thing took place. And when that did, the great estate, listen, what an estate this man had been given. You know why this man probably had so much go wrong? And I mean, listen, could you just imagine for just a minute, like we talked about this morning a little bit, put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the scene. Show yourself in and just say, you know what, let's just take a look at what really happened here. You've got a man who was given such an estate and rule and dominion over the whole thing and absolute perfection. He didn't have to hoe no weeds. He didn't have to pick no. He didn't have to. All he had to do was go and get what he needed and partake of it and enjoy the fellowship with God and the provisions of the Lord. That's all he had to do. But listen, whenever he got to that place where he missed that, he messed up and he got out of fellowship with God, that one time sin crept in, let me tell you what it did. It did a little more for him than what he expected. The Lord told him, in the day you eat thereof, you shall die. And then he didn't realize that the dying part was a spiritual death and it was going to send him out of a garden, away from God's fellowship, out of God's protection. And then look what happened a little later. He winds up with a murdered son. He winds up with another son who is a mark of a curse put upon him. And he's leaning upon a hoe handle and trying to till the ground every day for the rest of his life till he died. Why? Because one thing came in. One time sin came in. Sin is a thief, man. And one time that you let it step in, one time that it gets permission to step into your life. Now, listen, you can't fully eliminate sin from your life. You'd be gone to glory if you did. I mean, you're in this life, you're going to be in this life, and sin's a part of what's going on in this world. It's a sin-cursed world, and you have to live in it. But that don't mean we have to let sin, the Bible says, reign in our mortal bodies. But the minute we let it creep in, boy, it's going to start stealing things left and right, and it's going to take everything that you ain't got nailed down. Amen. And a lot of times, you know what the first thing to go is your peace, and a lot of times it's your joy, and a lot of times it's your peace of mind, and it's your security. Say, is he taking your soul away from him? No, he can't touch that. That's been sealed by the blood. Amen. That got nailed down by Calvary's cross. That's nailed down. He can't take that. But everything, there ain't nothing else that he can't get his hands on and take it from you. Sin robs people of more than what they realize. Sin will rob people of their time. It'll rob people of their time. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. It's not time yet. One of the things that sin robs people of is their time. It'll convince a man that the time isn't swift passing by and there's ample opportunities to get right with God. There's plenty of time, man. You ain't got to get in no big rush. You're still young. You're still healthy. Don't worry about getting in no big hurry about getting the sin out of your life. Don't worry about getting in a big hurry about making things like you're not accustomed to them being. Enjoy your life. Hey, just get some good out of this thing before you waken up and turn it over to Jesus. I mean, come on, let's just face it. When you turn your life over to the Lord and you give your sin over to Him and you take it all, put it under the blood, let's just face it. Life is going to end and you're going to... That's why we talked about this morning. Why do you think it's so hard for young people to stay in fellowship with the Lord? With so much offered to them today and so many temptations, so much that's out there that's just beckoning to them and wanting them to come. Why do you think it's so hard for them to resist and for them to say no? Why is it hard? Because to them, giving up sin and giving up their fleshly living is like dying. Because the Bible says that to live a crucified life is to die to self. And that's hard for them to do. That's hard for them to do. Brother Eddie, would you step around the corner and tick that ticker down about two notches? I am about to roast up here. I guess I could take this off, couldn't I? Sin is a thief, man. It robs you. It'll rob you of your time. It'll convince you that there's plenty of time, that you don't have to get in no hurry. And before you're aware, listen, it'll convince you that you got all the time in the world. And then before you're aware, the hourglass of life has ended. The sands of time have been spent. And there you stand. And the Bible even says, I want to read you a couple of passages here. Just a couple of verses. Jeremiah chapter 8. I want to go over there for just a quick minute. Jeremiah chapter 8. He says this in verse 20. Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. And I'll read this to you. He says, the harvest is past. Well, man, listen. We just read a prayer letter from our missionary who's talking about the fields are white unto harvest. Yes, they are. But the person who's letting the sands of time eke away and they're still not making a decision are going to turn around one day. And this is where they're going to wind up. They're going to wind up. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we are not saved. And that's where they're going to wind up. You see it again over in the book of James there toward the end of your New Testament. And over in the book of James, he tells you this. I'll flip over here real quickly. I'll read these passages to you. I try to make sure I try to get to where my hands stay kind of quick when I get to turning these pages. But sometimes it don't always work. Sometimes my hands trip over themselves. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? He says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanish away. For then you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And see, that's what they do. They think, man, I've got all the time in the world. The Lord said, your boastings of the time that you think you have is an evil thing. What? Sin. And it robs you of your time. It'll rob you of time. Sin stifles the senses so that you can't even judge time at all. And you get caught up in so many earthly things that they think there's plenty of time until nightfall. But what they don't realize is they're right on the verge of that one eternal day. They think it's still a while before the sun's going to go down. But what they don't realize is the sun's been down a while. We're fixing to wait for the sun to come up. We're waiting on the sun to come up, not the sun to go down. They think the sun's not went down yet, but they don't realize we're in the midnight hour. We're in the last watch. This is it. We're on the brink of this thing. And the next thing you know, they're going to turn around and want to know, hey, where did all my time go? It's gone. It's gone. Because sin is a thief. And it robs you of your time. Now men are hidden by sin from such perils that they can't perceive their own pitfall that's about to take place. And unfortunately, that's the case. Sin is not only a thief, but it's a blindfolder too. It'll keep people from even seeing the direction that they're heading in. It takes away their focus from the pitfall that's awaiting them. A man gets persuaded that procrastination is going to be sufficient because there's much that can be done in a short amount of time, see. Don't get so bent out of shape over trying to win souls. Don't get so bent out of shape over getting involved in your spiritual fellowship and getting yourself built up in Christ. You know something? There's more to being saved than just being saved and coming to church. There's a lot more to living for the Lord than just being a church member. And listen, there's a lot more to it. The Bible tells you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How else can I? I mean, listen, the Christian who doesn't think life in Christ means more than just coming to church and spending a minute or two in your Bible a day. That's the kind of person who walks into the gym and says, I want to be a bodybuilder, but they never touch the first weight. A man walked into a gym one time and he was sitting in the window up there and he was watching all these guys and they were pumping that iron and man, some of them pumping it like this and the veins popping out of their chest and popping out of their arms and he was just sitting there. The owner of the gym seen that guy had sat there for like 30 minutes just watching these guys and he went down there and he said, hey man, he said, what are you doing? And the guy said, oh, I was just thinking, I'd love to look like them. And that gym owner said, well, you ain't going to get that way sitting in the window. In fact, if you remember this, if you remember a passage over there in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul's up there preaching. He goes into the night, late into the night preaching, and a man sitting in the window fell asleep. And he fell out, and down there he went. Pop! His name was Eutychus. And the old hillbilly preacher said, if you'd have fell out the window, you'd have cussed too. You know why he fell out the window? He had more hanging out than he had hanging in. You know what sin does? It hangs outside the window saying, man, wouldn't that be something? Don't you wish you could be like that? Yeah, man, I'd love to be like that. I'd love to be like that Christian over there who can't quit crying when they're singing a song about the grace of God. I'd love to be like that Christian who can't quit shouting because of how good God's been to them. I'd love to be like that Christian over there who can't just quit shouting glory, hallelujah, when everything in their life is going to pot and everything they've got is falling apart. Their family's out of fellowship. Their marriage is in trouble. Everything is going wrong, but God is still good and they're just happy that they know Jesus. Man, what is it about that? And the devil's outside the window saying, man, don't you wish you could be like that? Yeah, I wish I could be like that. Listen, he does too, but he ain't going to get in the window either. Amen. And people are too busy sitting at the window letting sin rob them of their time. And they're running out of it. Now, sin is also going to seek to rob you not only of time, but opportunity. Because sin is a thief. I'm going to keep saying it. Sin is a thief. It robs you of time, but it'll also rob you of opportunity. Sermons preached, seasons of grace, precious days in church fellowshipping with God's people. It'll rob you of those opportunities. Listen, I ain't trying to say anything about sermons preached just because I'm the one that's generally here preaching the sermons. But listen, I mean, I would hate to know that I went into the house and sat down and heard the preacher preach and missed out on what God had for me for that day because there was something going on between me and God and I missed it. Because I have no guarantee that I will have another opportunity to come back. And I'd hate for the opportunity to pass me by because sin robbed me. I'd hate for that. It makes you, you know, the one thing that a Christian ought to fear more than anything is spiritual withdrawal. A dry season in God's service, a dry season in God's fellowship, to sit down and open your heart in prayer, open the Word of God and just want to get something and the fountain just seem like it's dry. It's not. Sometimes it's just you and me that's dry. That fountain's never run dry. It's never run out. It's never been short. It's never turned off. It's never slowed down. Never. But sometimes you and me are just so dry. It's like over there, and I believe it's in Psalms, and I don't remember exactly where right off the top of my head, but he says, maybe you're like a bottle in the smoke. You're hanging there like a bottle in the smoke. You ever seen the old leather bottles that they have with a little cork in it, and they carry them around back in the old day as a water skin? And you ever imagine what that would be like if there wasn't no water in that and they hung it up and the bottle was just in the smoke all the time? That thing would begin to dry and begin to crack. And then when that thing got so far gone, the water that gets put into it, instead of rehydrating it and making it permeable again, or not permeable, pliable again, where it can move and it can flex, instead of doing that, it's cracked and it's busted so it leaks out. Because there wasn't an opportunity to get it down out of the smoke. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. You know what the blessing is about smoke? Say, smoke's a blessing? It burns your eyes, man, I tell you. That ain't the blessing about it. But it burns your eyes. You know what it'll also do? It'll make you get down. Isn't that what they tell you when the house is on fire? Get as low as you can get. Because down there is where the fire is. And the smoke's up here. So if you'll get low, you can see well enough to get yourself out. And sometimes the best way to get up is to get down. If a man wants to get up, he's got to humble himself, but we're missing opportunities. We're like the bottle in the smoke. We're dried out. We're cracking under the pressure. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes through and wants to fill you like the water skin that needs a fresh drink, we're too dry. And we miss the opportunity. We miss the opportunity. Because the sermons preach the seasons of grace. Listen, it becomes nothing to remember the times when God's brought you through something. When those ages of grace. It's funny that they sang that song. I know the grace of my Lord. Well, we know the grace of the Lord, but do we remember all the times all the things that brought it, that He brought you through, all the times that the storm just seemed like it was about to cover you over. It was about to knock you clean off of your feet, and somehow or other, there just felt like something reached up, and as you were about to fall over, it just put your hand right there, just steadied you. And then a voice behind you that whispered and said, "It's all right, I got you. But I'm about to fall, Lord, I'm scared." He's like, "It's all right, I'm here. You're not alone." Amen. Sin will rob you of that. It'll rob you of that. Men prefer a restful retreat and worldly vantage above the riches of the Word of God. Hence the reason sin will rob them of the opportunity to hear the Word of God. Why? Because they prefer that restful retreat. "Well, man, I've had a hard week, man. You just don't know what kind of week I've had, how hard it's been on me. I can't come to church. It's been too tough on me this week." Well, how about that worldly advantage? "Man, just listen, preacher, I got to get this done. I can't come to church and sit and listen for a 45-minute or 50-minute long sermon. I can't be at church for an hour at a time. I got too much other things I got to do, preacher." And we're getting robbed of our opportunities. Getting robbed of them. Because I'm going to tell you, restful retreat and worldly advantage, when you boil it down, people think, "Well, I'm just getting the ox out of the ditch." Well, if my ox was getting in the ditch that much, it's either time to shoot the ox, sell the ox, or fill the ditch up. Amen. Shoot the ox, sell the ox, or fill the ditch up. If that thing kept getting in the same ditch over and over, and it was the reason it was keeping me from being in the place where I needed to be, where I could get around God's Word, get around God's people, get around the grace of God that's been so good to other people, as good as it's been to me. I mean, to just be able to share that with people. I mean, some of the folks that was here this morning, one of them was my cousin and her boyfriend. They were sitting back there this morning. First time they've come to this church and got to hear me preach. Now, Jesse's heard me preach before. But Jesse got to come in here and sit down. And when we got done and we got ready to leave, we went into cashiers. And I wasn't even planning on this. But next thing I know, I'm getting text messages, phone calls. And they're saying, "Hey, come meet us at Smokehouse. Let's eat." So we went over and we sat down. We started eating. And Jessie told me, she said, "I couldn't wait to get back to Mama and Nanny." I said, "Why?" She said, "I had to tell them what I learned in church today." She said, "And I even went through the whole thing." What does that do? Man, that blesses me. You know what it means? It means that somebody didn't miss the opportunity. Somebody didn't let sin keep them out of the opportunity of getting something that was going to help them get through the week. Amen. All right, so if they'll hear it, now that's the thing. If they'll hear, then the devil's going to seek to infiltrate their thoughts with other responsibilities. The Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." But when people are with, but it's got to start somewhere. See, it's got to start somewhere, and it begins with hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's got to start somewhere. So it starts with faith, cometh by hearing, and then be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And when the devil sees you making that attempt and making that effort, he starts bringing in other responsibilities to try to rob you of the opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, just being able to read it doesn't mean as much as being able to put it into practice. Because that's where the exercising of your salvation, fear and trembling comes in. It's where the growth comes. It's where the fellowship grows. It's where the love thickens. It's where the hide gets thicker. It's where your ability to withstand more comes from. Amen. It's where your ability to keep fighting when the rest of the world is saying lay down and you can still keep going. That's where it comes from. It comes from you not missing opportunities. Sin will rob you of your communion with God. And in the case of a lost man, it will rob him of his own soul. Because Matthew 16, verse 26, the Bible says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Or what shall it, he said, how does it go? There you go. Thank you, Miss Audrey. "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" In the case of the saved individual, your communion with God can be lost. You can lose your fellowship, but you can't lose the Lord. You can't lose the Lord Himself. Your example of that's Luke chapter 2. You got the parents of the Lord Jesus, Mary, His mother, Joseph, His adopted father, and they were the closest ones to Him, right? I mean, as a young child, there ought to be nobody closer to a young'un than their parents. I don't want her to grow up and have her being 6, 7, 8, 9 years old and have her little friends closer to her than me and her mama are. Amen. Say, you know, a robber of that social? No, no, I'm not. I want her to get her influence early in life from me and her mama because we have her best interest at heart. We love her. I want to see her born again. And I don't want the influence that she's exposed to take her attention away from the real problem. And the problem is, she's a sinner. Now, she's innocent right now. But one of these days, she's going to learn what sin is. And then she'll become responsible for her own soul. Every night when we go to bed, we pray and we have prayer together as a family. And every night I pray and ask the Lord to watch and guard over her soul until the day He sees fit to awaken within her the realization of her need for salvation. And then we pray for her salvation that she'll get saved as soon as possible. Say, preacher, do you want to be the one that leads her to the Lord? I don't care who leads her to the Lord. As long as she gets saved. I don't want to have to be, no, I don't want you telling my daughter about Jesus. I'm going to tell her about Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to tell her. But she's going to get it regardless. But if somebody else gets to come along and harvest what I've been planting and watering, praise God, I don't care as long as she's in. It's all I'm worried about. It's all I care. But why is that, preacher? I'm not worried about that. I don't want her to miss the opportunity. Because sin will rob you of your opportunities. It'll rob you of those things. It'll take them away from you. And as a lost person, it'll rob you of your soul. Because it takes away so many opportunities unheeded that eventually you run out of opportunities. And not only that, sin will rob you of your rewards. Come to Philippians chapter 3 and look at what the Bible says over in Philippians chapter 3. We're fixing to close this thing down here in just a few minutes. Philippians chapter 3. Have I froze y'all to death? Some of y'all are sitting here shivering. You're always cold. Get a blanket. Are any of y'all cold? Miss Shirley's cold. She's back there pulling her coat. I'm like, no, preacher, I'm fine. If y'all are cold, Brother Eddie can turn it back up a tick or two if you need to. Hey, I peeled my jacket. I'm hot anyway. It ain't going to matter if it's... It don't matter if it's 70 degrees or 80 degrees or 60 degrees. I'm going to be hot. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Look at what he says down here in verse 8. Now this is Paul's, when he saw this and he took the opposite approach. See, sin robs you of your rewards. But Paul took it and he flipped it the other way and he saw it from the other side. He said in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." You see, Paul said, I'm not going to let sin rob me of the opportunities. He said, I'm going to let all the stuff that the opportunities were going to award me in this world to be nothing as it compares to what I could gain in Christ. He took the opposite approach because he understood sin can rob you of reward. And he said, everything that can be rewarded in this life is but dung. And I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. Why? Because that's a reward that's going to last forever. Amen. Whereas the things of this life will perish. And they don't last for long. But I'll tell you what else, sin will rob you of your gratitude towards Calvary. And it'll rob you of your gratitude toward Calvary, endeavoring to render the gospel ineffectual to anybody else, because if it didn't mean nothing to you, what are you trying to do giving to somebody else? Because I tell you, if a person... Listen, that song we sung tonight, I'm glad Miss Shirley picked that song. I love to tell the story. I had a message one time that I was working on, and the Lord put the brakes on it. He ain't letting me preach it, and He may never let me preach it. Probably because when I was coming, when it was coming along, I was writing stuff down, and I got a book at home that's 101 hymn stories, and there's like 2 volumes or something, and it gives you all a bunch of old hymns. It tells you who wrote them, the story behind them. I love that stuff. I love all that old stuff. I love reading about some of Fanny Crosby's songs and some of these people that wrote songs like Amazing Grace. And man, I tell you what, you want to read a moving story, read about the guy who wrote It Is Well With My Soul. That's a good story, man. Heartbreaking story, but my goodness, at how the man found the grace of God to be able to do what he did and kept going. And I tell you, that just stuff like that. But you know, you get to looking into those sorts of things, and what you begin to realize is people who wrote those songs and they come up with those things, they never lost their gratitude for what Calvary meant to them. And I was going through that message and I was going through it and I got to thinking to myself, I come across that song right there, and I love to tell the story. And the first thought I had was, do you? I love to tell the story. Well, are you telling it? Well, you must not love it too much if all you're doing is getting lockjaw every time you get the chance to tell the story. You know? You see what I'm saying? All these songs, a lot of these songs that we sing, you know, I love to tell the story. It will be my theme and glory. You know? I, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And I love that old cross. Do you? The way that some Christians are living, I tend to wonder. Amen? Everybody will be happy over there, over there. Yeah, why? Because you won't have a choice. You're going to get up there, you're going to have a mind like his and a heart like his. There ain't no, going to be no choice but to be happy. A lot of people say, I'm so glad that I know. Are you? Well, then tell your face, because your heart feels it, but your face didn't get the memo. Amen. We need to go back to Sunday school. If you're happy and you know it, yeah. Clap your hands. Why? Because your face won't tell anybody. It'll rob you of your opportunities. It'll rob you of rewards. It'll rob you of your gratitude towards Calvary and endeavor that there, and it'll end up costing other people the realization that they need what you've got. Now, when you consider the magnitude of sin's effectiveness on people and then think yourself able to withstand its wiles, here's something you ought to consider. Sin deceived the angels who fell from their heavenly estate, and they weren't able to resist it. And the sin deceived Adam, who was highly regarded and honored by the Lord, who put him in charge of the whole earth. And sin, in its magnitude and its effectiveness, still won over these people who you would have thought would have been more immune to the effectiveness and the call of sin. So when people want to look at sin and all that it's capable of doing and all the strength that it does have, because it does, and they want to say, well, I've got liberty, preacher. I can handle it. I can sit and watch that preacher. I don't have a problem listening to that cussing. I don't have a problem watching that nudity. I don't have a problem listening to take the name of the Lord in vain and watching all that garb. I don't have a problem watching them queers kissing on TV. I ain't got a problem watching them abort babies and see all this garbage, preacher. I got liberty. I can handle it. Well, I got some news for you. If the angels that left their first estate couldn't handle it, the anointed cherub that covered couldn't handle it, and the man that God put over the whole earth because he was created in God's image couldn't handle it, I highly doubt you can. I highly doubt it. When sin binds a sinner, it's always either a bond of ignorance, a bond of unbelief, or the bond of a hardened heart. That's generally how sin chooses to get a hold of people. Isaiah 61, I'll read you a couple of verses and then we're going to close. Isaiah 61. The Bible says this, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Because sin's job and what it does is it binds people. Like we said, it binds them through ignorance, it binds them through their own unbelief, or it binds them through a hardened heart. Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, whenever I think it was Simon the sorcerer. We'll get over here and I'll look at it real quick just to make sure I ain't telling you wrong. Acts chapter 8. Peter and them are over here and Simon the sorcerer gets over there and he sees that by laying on of hands, these men are able to give the Holy Spirit to people. And whenever he saw that, he went and offered them money and he said, hey, I want you to give me this power that on whoever I lay hands, they'll receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter told him, he said, verse 20, Acts chapter 8, verse 20, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Pray God that perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Here it is, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. righteousness, and then the bond of iniquity. Sin can rob people. And even though this man in his mind was thinking to himself, I'd really like to have this for the right reasons, he was going about getting it the wrong way. And see, that's something sin will do. It'll rob you not only of your reward and all the things that we've covered, but it'll also rob you of your perception. It'll make you think that you're the exception to the rule and you can cut corners and you can get around things that other Christians couldn't get around. That there are things that other Christians had to go through and you're not going to have to go through it. But I want to tell you something. The ground is level at Calvary. And everybody came to Jesus Christ came the same way. And everybody goes through the... Now, we may go through different struggles, but it's the same grace that carries each of us through, and you're not going to get through by any other way than I did. And I'm not going to get through by any other way than you did. Sin's an old thief. Can I tell you that? Sin is an old thief. And it's been around, and he knows his craft, and he's been good at it since the start. And he knows all the tricks. He knows all the holes. He knows every inconsistency in your character and in your being. He knows that he can't have you. So the only thing he desires is to sift you as wheat, as the Lord told Peter, and rob you of anything that'll be pleasing to God in this life. And that's all he's in for it for. I want to read you this, and I'm going to quit. This is something that I found, and I thought it was really good. It's a poem. I don't know if I'll be able to read it as a poem. Anyway, it's pretty good. Sin is composed of naught but subtle wiles. It fawns and flatters. It betrays by smiles. 'Tis like the panther or the crocodile. It seems to love and promises no wile. It hides its sting, seems harmless as the dove. It hugs the soul and hates when vows most love. It plays the tyrant most by gilded pills. It secretly ensnares the soul it kills. Sends promises they all deceitful be. Does promise wealth, but pays us poverty. Does promise honor, but doth pay us shame. And quite bereaves the male of his good name. Does promise pleasure, but doth pay us sorrow. Does promise life today, but pays death tomorrow. No thief so vile, nor treacherous as sin, whom fools do hug and take pleasure in. That's where we are. That's where we're living. That's home right now. That's where you and I are. And when people, and I'm not telling you that people have done it. That's why I said one of the things that sin will rob you of and the way it'll bind you is through ignorance. And a lot of times the thing that people don't even realize is while their tension is over here and their focus is over here, the real issue is still laying over there and nobody's addressing it. Because the problem is not the government. The problem is not the president. The problem is not the COVID-19 virus. And it's not the vaccine. And it's not the reason for... It's not the abortions. And it's not this. Say, oh, that's wicked. That's all hellish. Yeah, it absolutely is. But it's a part of this world, folks. What do you expect from a bunch of lost people? Amen. People expect that this country is supposed to be godly and Christian. Who in the world can expect a country to be godly and Christian when that ain't what you've got in leadership? That ain't what you've got in your population? And people rather see things that get... They'd rather let people have what they want as to give people what they need in Christ. And so while they're up here looking at this and they're looking at, oh, how wonderful for this one to get their rights and how wonderful for that one to get their rights, and the boiling pot of sin is just stewing over and it's getting fuller and getting bigger and it's becoming a bigger mess and it's becoming a bigger problem, and the Christians are oblivious because they're too busy wondering, what are we going to have to do to get Biden out of the White House? What are we going to have to do to help them realize they ain't putting no COVID-19 vaccine in my arm? They ain't going to get me to take it. They ain't going to get me to do this and do that and the other. And they're all over the place. And that boiling pot of sin that they're leaving alone over there because they think they're fine as long as they're opposed to the bad stuff. Well, I ain't standing with a bunch of people that believes in abortion and all this business. No, but you're sitting over here letting the stew pot of sin boil over and it's covering the floor up. It's becoming a mess. And the life that you're supposed to be living in Christ is now being lived over here. And you know something? I hate to tell people this because I know it busts their bubble, but when we get to glory, none of that's going to matter. None of that's going to amount to anything. What's going to matter? That mess that we didn't clean up, that we didn't tend to. The Apostle Paul, do you ever read anywhere where the Apostle Paul was trying to raise insurrection against government officials? In fact, in Romans 13, he wrote the powers that be are ordained of God, whether you like them or you don't. Exactly. Pray, ask the Lord to save them. If they need to be saved, pray that God save their soul. If they are saved, pray they get right. But I tell you what, there ain't no sense in praying for national revival because, brother, it ain't going to happen. Say, oh, you saying God can't give right? It ain't that I doubt God, it's the people. Ain't nobody wanting it. Ain't nobody looking for it. Nobody's praying for it. Why? Because the pot of sin is being stewed over, and it's been stewing over for a long, long time. And it's robbing people of everything, and they don't even realize that they're losing stuff. Because, read Revelation 3 and read over there like verse 17 and 18 where he's talking to the Laodicean church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art blind and poor, or wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. And then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Why? Because the Lord can see what we really are, and where we think we're okay, the Lord looks up and he said, you are naked, you're vile, you're without any hope aside from what I've given you. And that's it. So, this week, I'm closing this now, we're done. So this week, what I'd encourage you to do, and some of y'all may already be on top of this, I don't know, it may be, maybe this is for me, I don't know. But I'd encourage you to take a minute to just slow down and say, Lord, would you examine me? Just examine me, and would you look and see, is there anything in there that probably don't need to be there? No, it's not murdering somebody. No, it ain't drinking and cussing and all this kind of business. No, it's not any of that. But Lord, I know that there could be a root of bitterness in there that I may not have realized was in there. And there may be there may be some sin of ignorance in there that I don't even realize is in there. And Lord, if that's what's in there, would you shine the light on it so I could see it and I could confess that thing and get it right? Because Lord, I'm like Paul. I don't want sin to reign in my mortal body. I want this thing to be fully and totally committed unto you, to your service, to your glory. I want this is yours. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's what I want. That's what I need. Listen, it ain't just something I want, beloved. It's something I need. It's something I need. Why? Why do you need it? Because it's what I was created to do. It's what He made me to do. He made me to get saved. Now, I ain't saying we're Calvinists and we believe there's a certain bunch that's going to get saved, a certain bunch that ain't. The Bible says whosoever will. Anybody wants to can come. All right? But you know what? He did say He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It was His will that we get saved. And then after we get saved, it's His will that we live for Him. And that's what we need to do. But boy, that sin, if we don't watch it, it's going to creep in. It's a thief. It's a thief, and it's going to rob us of everything. And we won't even realize it. We'll be blind. We'll be robbed blind, and we won't even realize that we're blind. We won't even realize everything around us is gone until we go to sit down, and the stool's been took out from under us, and pop, down on the floor you go, and you're looking around, where's all my stuff? Well, you let sin come in, and it cleans your house out. Amen. And that's why we need to keep a check on that thing. All right, Father, we appreciate you, Lord. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us today. Appreciate the time we've had in church. Thank you for all of these that have come tonight. I hope and pray that you bless them. Give them something, Lord, that they need to help them through the week, Lord. I know some of these messages ain't the most desirable, but Father, they're prevalent. They're real. This is a real struggle. This is a real issue. This ain't over. Sin is not done with until you cast it. Death and hell and all of it's cast into the lake of fire. And until then, it's not over. Lord, I don't want to let sin reign in the mortal body that you've given me to dwell in. I want it to be subject to thee. And Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to keep a check on ourselves, constantly making sure that we're not letting sin rob us of our reward, rob us of our joy, rob us of the peace of God, rob us of our power. Lord, we need this. We need this church. We need this fellowship. We need this book. We need you. And Lord, we can't have any of that if we're going to have too much sin crept up in the closets. Lord, help us to open